The book of Jeremiah. We come today to Jeremiah chapter 26. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I propose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. See, God doesn't like to judge, and he will bend over backwards to try to avoid it. But sometimes sinners force his hand when they don't repent. And actually, this particular message fits chronologically back into Jeremiah chapters 7 through 10. Jeremiah tried to get the people to repent back in those days, but as we will see, they did not do that. And so it continues in verse 4. And you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord, If you will not listen to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants the prophets whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. The theme of this message, as you can hear, is familiar. Repent or else. In verse 7, So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, You will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And it says, And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And then verse 10, it says, When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priest and the prophet spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. And so the officials of the land tried and convicted Jeremiah, and they declared that he deserved the death penalty. The crime? He spoke the word of God, and they didn't like it because it wasn't an upbeat message that tickled their ears. So let's kill the prophet. We don't like God's word, so let's kill the man who delivers it. Verse 12. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. Jeremiah reminds his hearers that there is hope for them, but they have to repent. It's all up to them. But they better not kill the prophet. or they will jump from the frying pan into the fire as far as God is concerned. Verse 16. So the princes and all the people said to the priest and the prophets, "This man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." Then certain of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, "Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest." Did Hezekiah king of Judah and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. Yeah, I mean, it's just practical, pragmatic. They're trying to be pragmatic. Let's not kill God's prophets. Even if we don't respect God, let's not kill his prophets. Even if we don't want to please God, we're just cutting our own throats by doing something so stupid. But we can see from these verses that the people were actually wiser than the religious leaders. They said, let's learn from history. And our history tells us that if we repent, we'll be okay. But if we kill God's prophet, we're going to be in big trouble. 20. Now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Then Jehoiakim, the king, sent men to Egypt, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and other men who went with him to Egypt. And they brought Urijah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with the sword and cast out his dead body into the graves of the common people. Well, Jeremiah, as we can see from these verses, was not the only faithful prophet to be threatened for preaching the word of God in those days. We see from this that others were threatened and not so fortunate, because some of them were murdered. Jeremiah escaped, and verse 24 tells us why. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put them or put him to death. So Jeremiah had friends in high places. He had the support of an important family in Judah, so his life was spared. Knowing the right people can make a difference, even for God's people. Of course, we must also remember that God is the one that we should ultimately trust. He is the one who arranges things. Chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes, and put them on your neck, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah king of Judah, and command them to say to their masters, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the fields I have also given him to serve him. So all nations shall serve him, and his son's son, until the time of his land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them." In other words, Israel and her allies, they can get together as they were getting together here, and they can plot and they can plan and they can come up with a strategy and they can try to beat back the power of Babylon if they want to. They can try, but they will fail. God says here through the prophet Jeremiah, I decide who the world's superpower will be, and I have decided on Babylon. He said, Babylon will rule the world until I say it's time for her to be punished for her sins. Verse 8. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Verse 9, therefore do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your hand or from your land, and I will drive you out and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and they shall dwell in it. And so God expects people to listen to and submit to and obey the authorities that he has established on earth. And that authority would be Babylon in the days of Jeremiah. So what's the point? The point is not to surrender to them would mean further rebellion against God, and God's people cannot afford that. And even today, you might not like the civil ruler that has been voted into office. You might not like them. Maybe you didn't vote for them, but you're still obligated to obey them. To rebel against a civil ruler, to rebel against the law of the land, is to rebel against God. Verse 12, I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. The false prophets were preaching an upbeat message to sinners who were on the edge of damnation, and that's the last thing they needed to hear, was an upbeat message. And the same thing is happening today. And God would warn people today, as he did back then, with the exact same warning. Do not listen to these feel-good preachers. They will make you feel good all the way to hell. Verse 16. Also I spoke to the priest and to all this people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen. Do not listen to the words of your prophets, who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you. They're not telling you the truth. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city be laid waste? But if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem do not go to Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the carts, and concerning the remainder of the vessels that remain in this city. And a lot of these things were holy vessels having to do with temple worship. He says in verse 20, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. And so for years, the false prophets were preaching lies. God will not judge. He will not punish. He's not upset with you because of your sin. Well, Babylon's invasion, which was the judgment of God that he warned about, came in stages. And when it started, the false prophets, well, then they started saying, don't worry, it's not going to last. Everything will be just fine. And God once again warned, do not listen to those liars. I'm telling you, don't listen to these feel-good preachers. Next time, chapter 28. Until then, so long, everyone.